going to invite you to turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, there's a verse that we're going to focus on in just a moment. And I want to build the context here to Acts chapter 1. In order to do that, I want to take us back to Luke chapter 24. Now, Jesus had lived a sinless life. He died on the cross. He was buried. And then 3 days later, as we celebrated last Sunday on Easter Sunday, Jesus was raised from the dead. Then he walked the earth for 40 days, was seen by over 500 witnesses, and we call those the post-resurrection appearances. Jesus revealed himself to the disciples, and he gave them these last words. In Luke chapter 24, verse 49, he said, "Stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, he said, "Wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Then right before their eyes, Jesus ascends back to heaven. The ascension of Christ is what we call that doctrine. He ascends back to heaven. And here's what we learn about the followers of Jesus Christ. Here's how they responded. In Acts chapter 1, verse 13, the Bible says they went up to the upper room. So here they gathered in this upper room. The Bible tells us there's about 120 believers gathered together. And we come down to verse 14. Notice what happens. The Bible says all these with one accord. That is, they were in unity. They were in alignment. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. Now think about all the different things they could have devoted themselves to. And yet they devoted themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. So when you look at the followers of Jesus Christ, we notice that they were in quarantine at some level. They were in the upper room. And they were devoting themselves to prayer. Now, I want to ask you to write this down. It's always so good to have our children with us gathered. And maybe on your listening guide, you'll want to write this down. And I want to encourage our parents to write this down, all of our adults. Here's the phrase I want you to write down. You live in sync with the heartbeat of God through the rhythm of prayer. That's how you live in sync with the heartbeat of God, through this avenue called prayer. Now, what is prayer? Well, prayer is sacred communion with the creator of the universe. Prayer is communication. Prayer is conversation with the creator of the universe. And what I want you to understand with me this morning is that God has granted you access into his presence. God has gifted you with this wonderful, gracious opportunity to have communion with him, conversation with him, communication with the creator of the universe. So the question I have for you is this: what are you doing with the access you have been granted? A book that I've enjoyed reading several times over the years is a book by Mark Batterson called The Circle Maker. And I have a quote I want to share with you from his book. "Prayer was never meant to be a monologue. It was meant to be a dialogue. Think of scripture as God's part of the script. Prayer is our part. Scripture is God's way of initiating a conversation. Prayer is our response." Isn't that good? So God is inviting us into this prayer relationship. God is inviting us into this communion with him, conversation, communication. Tim Keller wrote a wonderful book entitled Prayer, and I love this quote from him. "Prayer is the main way we experience deep change, the reordering of our loves." And this next statement really grabbed my heart. "Prayer is the way we know God, the way we finally treat God as God." Now, I want you to measure that for a moment. Prayer is the way we finally treat God as God. So how are you treating God? Well, the answer is related to how is your prayer life. And what I want to do in our time together is talk about cultivating the rhythm of prayer. Cultivating the rhythm of prayer. Whenever you think about a sailboat, as you know, a sailboat is dependent upon the wind to guide the sailboat, to push the sailboat, empower the sailboat to navigate the waves. And there are times in life where you feel like you're sailing, where you can just feel the wind of God's Spirit pushing you in the right direction. You feel such a connection with the Lord. You feel so close to Him, and your prayer life is so intimate with Him. But then you go through seasons of life where you feel like you're just rowing, just trying to press through the wind and press through the waves and press through the difficulties and press through the adversity. And sometimes your prayer life is like rowing. But then there are times where your prayer life is like drifting, where you start neglecting your love relationship with God. You start neglecting your prayer life. And you start drifting from God. And you start feeling distant from God. So sometimes you're sailing, sometimes you're rowing, sometimes you're drifting. And then there are times where you feel like you're sinking. You feel like you're so far from God and you've so neglected your love relationship with Him. And your prayer life has become so anemic that you feel like you're sinking. So how do you cultivate the rhythm of prayer? I want to give you two steps if you'll write these down. Here's step number one. Cultivate the rhythm of prayer by practicing spontaneous prayer. I want you to notice here in Acts chapter 1, as the followers of Jesus Christ are gathered here in this upper room, they're anticipating the coming of the Holy Spirit. They're waiting upon the Lord. And often your prayer life involves waiting, being still before God, waiting for God to intervene, waiting for God to respond, and you're praying and you're seeking God and you're pursuing God and you're crying out to God. And here in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, we see that they are devoted to prayer. And they're devoted to spontaneous prayer. They're practicing spontaneous prayer. Maybe they're praying for one another. Maybe they're praying for the relationships that they have with each other. Maybe they're praying for their culture. Maybe they're praying for the day of Pentecost. Maybe they're praying for God to prepare their hearts for the arrival of the Holy Spirit that He had promised. But they're practicing spontaneous prayer. You see, God is inviting us into this love relationship with Him, and He's on the move, and we're moving with God. And spontaneous prayer allows us to capture God moments. When Elijah in 1 Kings 18 took on the prophets of Baal and Asherah, and he called down fire from heaven, that was a spontaneous prayer that God answered. And Elijah experienced that amazing God moment on Mount Carmel. I remember being with a team doing disaster relief after a hurricane, and we had rented this Bobcat, this front end loader. It's called a Bobcat. And we got it off of the trailer there, and the gentleman who was going to operate it to help clean up all this debris to help us gain momentum in this response to all the disaster that had taken place on the other side of this hurricane that we could help clean up. And the Bobcat wouldn't start. It just went dead as a hammer. And in that moment, God prompted me to pray over the Bobcat. Now, I had never prayed over machinery like that before, but in that moment, I asked the men, hey, let's gather up, and I want us to lay hands on this Bobcat, this piece of machinery, and we're going to ask God to make it work. And we laid our hands on that big piece of machinery, and we prayed over that machinery, and then I asked the gentleman, get back in there and try it again. And he turned the key, and I want you to know, it started. And we got to work for hours cleaning up debris to help minister to a family. Spontaneous prayer to capture God moments. And as you embrace spontaneous prayer, God will invite you into some God moments that He has orchestrated just for you. You see, as we practice spontaneous prayer, it's also to request divine intervention. I love the story of Jonah. In Jonah chapter 2, we see where Jonah was rescued by God via a fish. And can you imagine Jonah inside the belly of a fish? In Jonah chapter 2, we hear his prayer. Now we call that environment of prayer a liquid sanctuary. And Jonah's head was covered with seaweed and he's praying through the seaweed. That's a spontaneous prayer for God's deliverance. Think about Peter walking on water that I've mentioned several times. And when he was beginning to sink, he cried out a very short prayer, "Lord, save me." Spontaneous prayer. Whenever the thief on the cross looked over to Jesus and said, "Will you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" That was a desperate prayer. That was a spontaneous prayer. And Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So let's respond to adversity through spontaneous prayer. And let's allow prayer to be our first response. Cultivating the rhythm of prayer by practicing spontaneous prayer. Here's step number two. If you'll write this one down, cultivate the rhythm of prayer by devoting yourself to scheduled prayer. Well, Pastor Stephen, you're saying that I should plan my times of prayer? Yes. Literally schedule your time of prayer. Place it on your calendar. Make room in your life for prayer to nurture your love relationship with Christ. Here in Acts chapter 1 in the upper room, we read in verse 14 there, they devoted themselves to prayer. In other words, they were all in. They valued their prayer life. They valued their love relationship with God. So they devoted themselves to prayer. Here's what you'll discover in life. Whatever gets your attention gets you. Whatever gets your attention gets you. And you're going to give your life to that which you value. As I have said many times, you make room for what you value. And if you value your love relationship with God, if you value growing and cultivating the rhythm of prayer, then you'll make room for prayer in your schedule. Jesus modeled the value of consistent prayer. In fact, Jesus started every day in communion with his heavenly Father. That sacred communion, that sacred conversation, that sacred communication called prayer. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, "And rising early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." You see, discipleship is a daily decision. Discipleship is a daily discipline, and we demonstrate our discipleship through cultivating this rhythm of prayer. So I want to challenge you. Establish a standing meeting with God. Establish that in your own journey. A standing meeting with God. Now for me, it's every morning, very early. I have a standing meeting with God and I don't let anything interrupt that time alone with God. I'm making room for that, because I value my love relationship with God. And I want to be a man of God. I want to be a man of prayer. And I want to nurture my love relationship with God. Jesus also identified the places conducive to prayer. In Matthew 14, 13, he went to a mountain by himself to pray. In Mark 1:35, we just learned he went to a desolate place and prayed. In Luke 22, 39, Jesus, as was his custom, went to the Mount of Olives, and there, while he was alone, prayed. We learn in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, Jesus said, "But when you pray," not if you pray, but when you pray, "go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." What is Jesus saying? Go into your room to elevate the priority of prayer. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. You see, Jesus was devoted to scheduled prayer. Daniel was devoted to scheduled prayer. And I want to know, is prayer a priority in your life? Are you willing to make room for prayer by placing prayer into your schedule. Jesus said, go into your room to eliminate distractions. Find that place of prayer for you that will allow you to stay focused, that will allow you to connect with God on a deep level. So the two steps we've learned to cultivate the rhythm of prayer, first of all, is practice spontaneous prayer in the moment, as you're doing life, as you're walking outside, as you're riding your bike, as you're doing housework, as you are going shopping, as you are doing what you do daily, practice the presence of God, practice spontaneous prayer. But also devote yourself to scheduled prayer. Make it part of your daily rhythm. Here's what I want to invite all of us into for the next 21 days. 21 days of prayer. You say, well, Pastor Stephen, why 21 days? Why not 14? Why not 7? Why not 18? Why 21? Well, studies have shown that it takes 21 days to form a habit. And I want us to form the most important habit, and that is the habit of prayer. So for the next 21 days, I want us to walk together in cultivating this rhythm of prayer. And we've made it so easy for you to get connected, to get involved. All you have to do is go to our homepage at championforce.org. You'll see a tab there that says 21 Days of Prayer Devotionals. I want you to select that tab, and I want you to subscribe to the daily devotional that will be emailed to you early every morning. So when you wake up, you can read that devotional and participate in that particular day of prayer during our 21 days of prayer. We're going to start tomorrow morning, on Monday morning. We're going to launch the 21 days of prayer. So it will go April 20th through May 10th, which happens to be Mother's Day. So we're going to culminate our 21 days of prayer together on Mother's Day. And here's a question I have for us. What if we participate in 21 days of prayer? What if we carve out space in our daily schedule to cultivate this rhythm of prayer for the next 21 days to form this vibrant habit? What will our lives look like on day 22? I want to know what will be different in our love relationship with God after 21 days of prayer. What will day 22 look like? What will be different about us? Will we be more like Jesus? Will we make a difference in our culture because we've been praying for our country, we've been praying for our leaders, we've been praying for our doctors, our nurses, we've been praying for our school system, we've been praying for our teachers, we've been praying for our administrators, we've been praying for all of our policemen, our fire, our EMS, all those on the front line of service. We've been praying for the salvation of those that we've been walking with. We've been praying for the salvation of those in America. We've been praying for a spiritual awakening globally that God would have his way. What will be different on day 22 after cultivating the rhythm of prayer for 21 days? I was so touched by the Jesus Changed My Life testimonies that we have posted over the last couple weeks leading up to Easter Sunday, just seeing all those amazing testimonies and hearing how God has worked in individuals' lives to bring them to faith in Jesus Christ, and how many other people have come to faith in Jesus Christ because you were willing to post your testimony either by video or in written form. What if you typed out a prayer, a specific prayer during this 21-day journey and posted it? What if you recorded a specific prayer and posted it? What if we saturate social media with specific prayers that we're praying during this 21 days of prayer? We could have a prayer awakening as we saturate our culture with specific prayer, as we practice spontaneous prayer, and as we devote ourselves to scheduled prayer. Can you imagine how many people will be in heaven because of our devotion to prayer? Prayer is the key that unlocks the heart so that people can come to faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is so at work as we pray because we're coming into alignment with God. That rhythm of prayer brings us in sync with the heartbeat of God, so that what God values, we value. What God loves, we love. What God hates, we hate. And what God is for, we're for. Why? Because we have the rhythm of prayer. We're living in sync with the heartbeat of God. Let me give you three acrostics. If you'll just write these down very quickly. These are just acrostics to help you cultivate this rhythm of prayer. Here's the first one I'm gonna give you. Just write down the word pray, P-R-A-Y. Here's what it stands for. Praise, repent, ask, yield. Let that guide your prayer time each day, where you just spend time praising God. Then you repent of sin, where you confess sin, repent of it. Then you ask specific things of God, and then you yield to his lordship and leadership. Pray. Here's another one that's very familiar, ACTS, A-C-T-S. Adoration, where you adore God in prayer. Confession, confessing your sin before God. And then thanksgiving, where you express gratitude to God for all that he's done in you and through you and for you. And then supplications, where you get very specific about things that you're asking God to intervene in, specific things you're asking God to do in you and through you and for other people. That's the ACTS model of prayer. And then I want to give you another one that I love so much and I use in journaling, and it's SOAP, S-O-A-P. Scripture, so you read a scripture, and you can read the daily devotional scripture that we'll be posting. You read scripture. Then you write just a few sentences observing that scripture. And then the application, a few sentences about what that scripture is teaching you to do to apply in your life. And then write out a prayer. You can pray verbally, or you can literally just write out a prayer or type a prayer in this SOAP acrostic. Here's what means so much to me. God invites us into this sacred communion, this sacred communication, this sacred conversation with him. What are you doing with the access you've been granted? And I can't get over this. The most important prayer you will ever pray is the prayer for salvation. And I prayed that prayer on March 28th, 1979, 1 month before I turned 10. On March 28, 1979, I prayed this prayer, turning from my sin and inviting Jesus to transform my life. And I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10, 9 and 10, but if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In verse 10, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. I'm going to invite you to pray the prayer that transformed my forever, and it can transform yours. Would you bow with me? I want you to pray this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I believe you lived a sinless life for me. Just pray that to him. And I believe you died on the cross for me. And Lord, I confess my sin to you. And Lord, I now place my faith and trust in you alone for salvation. I believe you rose from the dead, and I now surrender my life to you. Lord, thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. If you just prayed that prayer, inviting Jesus to take over your life, that prayer that changes your forever, I want you to text your name to the number on the screen, and one of our ministers will contact you to pray a prayer of celebration with you and to talk about next steps. Where do you go from here now that you become a child of God? Maybe you have more questions on what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ. If you'll just text your name to the number on the screen, one of our ministers will contact you. I'm so excited about what God's going to do during this 21 days of prayer. And what our lives will look like on day 22 after connecting with God daily and leveraging this wonderful privilege called prayer to draw near to God. And the Bible says as we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. Lord, thank you for our precious time together. We love you so much and we praise you. And God, some of us are sailing. Some of us are rowing. Some of us are drifting. Some of us are sinking. But God, I pray that all of us will cultivate the rhythm of prayer and be drawn near to you. And God, that you will do a transformative work in us and through us to advance your kingdom and to make us more like Jesus is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you are encouraged and challenged by what you heard today. If you'd like more information about Champion Forest Baptist Church, our service times, or how you can get connected, visit us at championforest.org. Thanks so much. Have a great day, and God bless.